It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are joined in studio by Congressman Tim Kennedy. Congressman, welcome in.
Great to be here, Joe. Thanks.
Before we get into the political talk, you are still on your first year in Congress.
Yeah.
How is the adjusting to being in D.C., and how does it relate to being in Albany?
Yeah, look, it hasn't been 3 months yet, 2.5 months. We're off to the races. I'll tell you, I'm really excited about the opportunity to represent our community and our nation in Washington, D.C. as a member of Congress. And, you know, we've been hitting our stride in large part due to the experience that I brought to the table in my work in government, both at the county level for 6 years and in the New York State Senate for 14 years. And knowing the process and being able to equate to people and engage on another level and recognizing the real partnership that it takes to get things done. We've hit the ground running. And, you know, I've been working with my colleagues really on both sides of the aisle to drive an agenda forward that's positive for Western New York and for our nation as a whole. And, you know, I had big shoes to fill, and I continue to work each and every day to just keep pace with the pace that Congressman Brian Higgins had down in Washington, D.C., where, by the way, he's revered as a former member. And, you know, we're using the experience that I had in the state legislature down in D.C., where, you know, it's a larger group of people, it's a larger body, the procedure is different. But when it comes to taking care of home base, that's always the same. So, you know, we have a track record of listening to the constituents that I represent, of taking their voice and in infusing it into the decisions that I'm making, both formerly at the state capitol and now in the nation's capitol.
I do know that Higgins had a standing there, because I remember in 2000, would it have been Higgins in 2009? I was at Madai College, and we got a tour of the White House.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not the easy, as you know, it's not the easiest thing to get a tour. We were the student government of Madai, and we're able to walk to the White House.
Yeah, I've actually taken a few different constituents on tours of the White House and the Capitol. You know, being able to celebrate our nation's capital and our incredible country and being down there and walking in the footsteps of history is something that I take great pride in. You know, Congressman Richie Neal told me before I got to Congress, you'll never regret a day that you leave the influence that you have in the state of New York in order to come to the nation's capital, because every now and then you look around and you think, I'm serving in the same halls as Abraham Lincoln. And whether it's Lincoln or so many other extraordinary history makers that made this country so great, you know, to be able to walk in their footsteps and now be a part of history in my own right, it's a real honor and a privilege.
Just like being on Hardline.
Absolutely.
Now, let's get into politics,
sure.
Congressman, and the last month has been, we talked about this with Professor Bob Klump last hour. I mean, it has been, we'll be talking about this last month, from the debate to now, for 20, 30 years, it'll be studied in, it'll be a semester.
It'll
be a semester in American history. Just what's your take on everything that's unfolded from the debate to the assassination attempt to President Biden stepping down? How are you taking in this last month?
It's been a whirlwind of a month, I think, for everybody, for our nation. And it's been an eye-opening experience as to, one, how fragile our democracy is, and how important it is that we have our voices heard and that we have a debate over the issues and be able to really trust in the election process that we have before us in 100 days from today. By the way. And so, you know, when you see what's transpired in the last month, it's been certainly one of those head-snapping, head-turning moments in American history, but even the last week. And I believe today our country is more energized than ever before, and I certainly am, in getting our next president, Harris, elected as president of the United States with the track record that she has as vice president, as senator, as attorney general, as state of California, as district attorney in Northern California. And so she has an extraordinary track record of delivering. And now that we have her stepping into this role as the Democratic nominee that'll be solidified in Chicago in the next month, we know that the messenger who's going to be talking about the issues that are important to the American people is able to articulate it in a way where she connects with people because she's one of us. You know, she comes from humble roots, the daughter of immigrants, someone who got her degree at Howard University and went on to get her law degree in California and worked as a district attorney locking up sex offenders, those that abused our children, and then went on to champion human rights on a national level, both as attorney general, senator, and now vice president. And so her falling into this role as the Democratic nominee is one of those moments in history that I'm proud to be a part of, seeing that we have galvanized as a Democratic Party, and I believe a nation, because when you see the people that are really recognizing that her vision for the future is one that is bipartisan, one that is all-encompassing, one that is unifying, and one that will really make history, people are excited, and more so than ever before, more so than I have ever seen, at least in the last 20 years.
Do you wish that President Joe Biden had stepped down earlier so there could have been a primary? Because the Democratic Party is trying to say that they're saving democracy, but they did not democratically select their candidate. How would you?
No, I disagree with that. Look, President Biden has done extraordinary work. As a matter of fact, he will go down as one of the greatest presidents in United States history. He pulled us out of the pandemic. He put in place a system that created a record number of jobs in American history. He has championed human rights. He has championed civil rights. He has championed worker rights. He has championed women's rights. He has really led with his heart and his soul and with integrity. And in large part, that is how he will be seen. And one of the most patriotic moments that I have ever seen in my lifetime, and maybe in American history, was him passing the torch to Vice President Kamala Harris, recognizing that this is a moment in American history that we cannot go backwards, we must move forward, and that she will be the champion and the mouthpiece for our nation to articulate a message where we win on the message. We win on a message that women should be able to make their own healthcare decisions, that we need to protect Medicare and Social Security, that we need to continue to fight for the working class in America and create jobs and strengthen our economy and make our nation more affordable and continue to drive a policy forward that is in the best interest of all Americans, regardless of political stripes or regardless of demographics. You know, she will be a unifier just as Joe Biden has as president of the United States.
But looking back, because, I mean, obviously it was full steam ahead until the debate. Something happened after that debate. You know, Lyndon Johnson, he dropped out after the New Hampshire primary. Do you think, because I've talked to people who, believe me, do not politically agree with me. Mm-hmm. And they're saying the same thing, as they just wish that there had been some type of primary. Do you think people within the White House may have known earlier and could have said, hey, maybe we do a one-term thing? I'm just wondering, like, there will be people who are probably between, I always say this myth of between Trump and Harris, maybe between Harris and not voting at all. How do you explain to them that this was the right way to handle this over the last month?
Well, what I would say first is not voting at all is not a good choice, no matter what you do, regardless of your political stripe. You have to get out and vote. See, it is what makes our country the greatest country in the world. And the process as it played out is just the supposedly, you know, the longer I am a part of this world. I recognize that everything happens in God's time. And, you know, we're here for a reason. And the way it played out was the way it played out. You know, President Biden, who is going to go down as one of the greatest and most successful presidents in our nation's history, is in a moment in his life where he is not able to articulate the message in a campaign the way he might have been able to in his youth. And recognizing that, and still being capable and still being able and still being the incredible champion of our country on a national and international stage that he is, recognize that post-debate, which we all know was not his greatest moment, including the president himself admitted such, that he needed to step away from the campaign, finish off the next several months with dignity and class and respect.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As he has led this country and passed the torch to the next generation. And this next generation, Vice President Kamala Harris, with a proven track record, will make history as the first woman president in the history of the United States, which will help us get a little bit closer to a more perfect union, which is our charge. And you look at our country compared to countries on the world stage, including those in Europe who have had women lead their countries over many years. It's time for a woman to lead our country. And most importantly, a woman that brings the sort of experience, grace, class, strength, and ability that Vice President Kamala Harris will bring as President of the United States.
Do you have a VP candidate that you are pushing for? Do you have a mini list that you would give to the VP?
Yeah, I think there's a number of vice presidential nominees, possibilities that make sense. Governor Shapiro, Governor Beshear, Governor Pritzker out of Illinois, Mark Kelly out of Arizona. Secretary Buttigieg, and I could, the list goes on and on. Right. Look, there are many capable people. I think what's most important is that the president has a vice president that she can count on and that galvanizes the American public in a way where we are unified as Americans once again in a vision for the future. And I believe that she will make that choice.
I mean, I'm not one to give advice, but Josh Shapiro would be the one I think would scare. I mean, I'm speaking for me, would scare Republicans because he is moderate.
Yeah.
And he's on Fox News a lot, which for Democrats is not. You know, him and Buttigieg are both on Fox News, I think, more than any other Democrat.
They're bringing the message of Vice President Harris to the American people, which is a message of strength and unity and hope for the future. And I think that's why they resonate so well. And they have a proven track record of bringing people together on both sides of the aisle. And that's why I think they look so strong as candidates, as vice president.
So the week before Joe Biden stepped down, President Joe Biden stepped down, he gave a speech to the nation about toning down the rhetoric, which I don't know if you ever listened to me during the week, Congressman, but it's something I talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. That I think both sides are right. Guilty of rhetoric. We've got to be able to disagree without saying that they're the enemy.
That's right.
Have you seen more of that over the last week or over the last 2 weeks in D.C. from your colleagues?
Look, I think that in this moment in time, what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania was tragic. The idea that a gunman could climb up on a roof and shoot at a former president and a candidate carrying the flag as the nominee for a party in our nation is outrageous. It's unacceptable. And we challenged the leader of the Secret Service, who did not come with good answers. And as a matter of fact, because of the lack of answers out of the Secret Service, because of the lack of accountability, the now former head of the Secret Service stepped down. And it was really disgraceful what happened in Butler. It should never have happened, and it should never happen again. And regardless of your political stripes, you know, what makes our country great is the passing of power without a bullet. And that's what makes us different from the rest of the free world. And what we need to do is make sure that regardless of our political stripes, that we are one, doing our politics without violence, and that we are listening to all Americans, regardless of their political stripes, regardless of their opinion, regardless of their philosophies, because we're all in this together. That's what makes us great as a country, the greatest country in the history of the world. And, you know, we just this past week voted unanimously in Congress. There wasn't one no vote, which I was so proud to see, for the creation of a task force to investigate the assassination attempt on the former president. And so that will move forward, and we will expect to get much stronger answers than the now former head of the Secret Service was willing to offer.
That's great. That's great. And I have to say, it was awesome to see at that hearing both parties asking tough questions, yeah, right? Because we've seen so many of these hearings where one party will grandstand, the other will ask the questions, and it was because, like you said, I mean, doesn't matter where you stand, that should never happen again.
It was an outrage.
Yeah, and I'm so glad how we came together, because we can come together. That's 100%. That's the beauty of America.
That is the beauty of America.
Now, something not as important and not as to the level of that, that people were upset about here, it had to do with our neighboring country and dogs coming over the border.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I first heard this, it made no sense to me,
mm-hmm,
but we've gotten some of that lifted mm-hmm, when bringing your dog, it's not going to take the paperwork that mm-hmm they were proposing.
That's right. So back in May, we received phone calls from some constituents that saw this new CDC order that would have created more barriers than ever before in bringing one's dogs over the border from Canada to the United States and vice versa. It would have created another level of bureaucracy. It would have created another barrier that would have backed up these lines at the border that we just don't need, that would have suppressed commerce across the border, because people are going to make decisions with their time on the weekend. They don't want to go sit in line to cross the border on either way for an hour or 2 hours. Rather, they'll go sit at home. And that hurts our economy on both sides of the border, especially when we're trying to open up commerce between Western New York and our Canadian friends, you know, the 13 and a half million of which are in Ontario, that we're trying to tap into that wonderful economy. And so, you know, we want to create an ease to which an individual can cross the border. And in putting in place these barriers that ensured to have a slip every time you cross the border that was signed off by the U.S. CDC to say your dog was clear to rip. These were import decisions that were just creating another level of problems for someone who has a pet that's really part of their family. I'm a dog owner.
Yep.
My dog gets more attention than I do at home, you know, which I'm sure most of your listeners can agree to. You know, it's like one of those things, like your dog's part of the family.
Yep.
And to think that you'd have to leave your dog at home or get a sitter because you want to cross the border for the day or a weekend because it doesn't match the description of what the CDC is rolling out, which, by the way, they didn't even articulate to the Border Patrol and Customs and Protection that are actually clearing our canine family members at the border. It was just one of those mind-boggling decisions that we challenged back in May. And then my colleagues from Western New York, in a bipartisan fashion, challenged again in the last 2 weeks. And then we held them accountable by advancing legislation that said if they didn't roll back these requirements, we were going to do it ourselves as a act of Congress. They relented, and now the restrictions have been lifted. It is much easier to get across the border, but we're still going to hold them accountable and make sure that there's no confusion. And if there is, we'll address it.
Anything that's not getting discussed that you're looking forward to on the floor of Congress, or something that's going to be up for a vote that you would like people to maybe pay a little attention to?
Yeah, look, this week we had another disaster in our community where a rail car came off the tracks in a residential neighborhood that spilled 2,000 gallons of diesel. This is after people's lives were lost crossing a rail crossing in North Tonawanda. The three people died there. An individual died just last month in the Kensington Avenue neighborhood of Buffalo. There was another death in North Tonawanda this year, and then another death in the Bailey Broadway neighborhood. The freight rail industry needs to be held accountable. I've co-sponsored a bill that the Railway Safety Enhancement Act that would hold these multi-billion dollar rail corporations accountable, that would ensure safety methods are put in place, and that we are ensuring that when these rail cars and trains, sometimes miles long, are coming through our neighborhoods and commercial areas, that they're doing so safely and they're not putting our community in harm's way. So we're hopeful to get that across the finish line. We're doing some water safety enhancements. I was able to get a $745 million amendment put into the appropriations bill for both water safety and lead pipe rehab across the country, another $5 million for research that I was able to get in a second amendment for fighting algae blooms that will help to give us clean water in communities across our country. So we're doing some aggressive work on the environment, and you know, we're hopeful that we can continue on this very positive trend forward, and again, in a bipartisan fashion as often as we can.
It's amazing there are still lead pipes in 2024.
Yeah, it's something that this is our charge as a community, as leaders, as people that are living in this moment, that we have to do better. And there should not be lead pipes that are poisoning our youth in our community anywhere in this nation. And unfortunately, because of a lack of attention to it, a lack of funding to resolve this problem, this has continued to be a problem across our country and certainly across our community in urban areas that are older across America, just like Buffalo, Niagara Falls, and other communities across the country.
We talked with Congresswoman Claudia Tenney and Congressman Nick Langworthy before you. They were at the RNC. Will you be at the DNC this year?
I certainly will be. I'll be there as a superdelegate. I will be casting my vote for Kamala Harris as President of the United States, and look forward to an exciting week ahead.
And then wrapping it up on Hardline that Sunday?
You know, hopefully our schedules will allow that to happen, but I love being here and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
I appreciate you. Congressman Tim Kennedy, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Have a great day, everybody.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.